So let's pray, and then let's begin. Father, we just thank you to be together, Lord. We continue to pray for Adi, Lord, and we just pray that he could be released from hospital. Lord, that you would Lord, just completely heal him, that he would not feel dizzy at all. Please cover him, Father, we pray, and give him a full recovery. Lord, give the doctors wisdom, and Lord, encourage Mada too, Lord, and bless that precious family, Lord, we ask you. Lord, we pray for Loredana in Oradea. We just lift it to you, Lord, for Lord, your strength and healing. And Lord, we pray too for Lori, that you would really touch her, Lord, and heal her from the bronchitis, Lord, that she would be well again quickly, Lord, we pray. Thank you, Father. We just look forward to Bible school on Saturday, and Lord, we pray for Lord, your blessing on that time. Lord, we ask you to draw new people, and Lord, that we would be encouraged, we pray. But Lord, bless us tonight, and speak to our hearts, Lord. And Lord, may we be ready to just to communicate, to share, Lord, the good things that you've given us and you've revealed to us, Lord, by your Holy Spirit. Lord, that we could encourage others, Lord, we pray. So bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, so praise the Lord. I have a few thoughts tonight, and I want to share them, and I hope that they will all come together in our hearts. But you know, this is continuing with the subject that we spoke about on Sunday, but looking at it from a different point of view. I'd like to start in Matthew 27. And it's what we could say is that when we live in the objective thinking from the Word of God, it guards us against certain characteristics of the flesh life, the soulish life, that we see around us. And a good example is what we find in Matthew 27. And in verse 24, when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person." see to it. And we know this incident very well, and I'm sure we've all imagined the picture, and how it's become notorious, Pilate washing his hands. But what is the deeper issue here? What is underlying here? It is a man who is who's not spiritual, obviously. He's a leader who is choosing not to live in objective truth. So what he has just been through is he has examined Jesus and found him to be without any cause of condemnation. But still, he allows the condemnation to go ahead because he is not living in objectivity, but rather in subjectivity. So this is a very poignant example of what happens. And it happens in our families, in our marriages, sometimes in the church, that we know what the truth is, but we will not stand for the truth. And we think that we can excuse ourselves honorably from the situation. And, washing his hands in public, what did that do? Absolutely nothing. It didn't mean anything. It had no, it didn't absolve him from responsibility. It was just a empty gesture that he made. And so it is with us. When we walk before people rather than before God, and this is really a great thought. The danger of walking before men and not walking before the Lord. So you listen to what your friend says, and you allow your decision making to be moved or to be changed because of the atmosphere or because of what a friend says. Happens all the time, doesn't it? It's nothing new, and it is a reflection of human nature. But one of the things that we said on Sunday, and I think we know this, that we are not preaching relative truth. It's absolute truth. It's what God says. And this is something that is above our our emotional yo-yo response that we have in our lives. It's something outside of us. And that's why it is such a blessing for us and so needed in our lives to to stand on the rock and to have that immovability in our lives, not because we are immovable, but because Jesus is. So, it's all about him and not about us. This way that man can be moved easily can be by opinion or by how the wind blows is very important for us because You remember Paul spoke of the danger of people being blown around by every wind of doctrine. So again, here is a Christian who has available the objective word of God, but there is something that blows through and is able to move us in a different direction. And this is dangerous. This is not good for the believer. And so how wonderful it is to have the opportunity for our lives to have a solid, immovable foundation in God. And that's the reason why we have Bible school. That's the reason why we preach the Bible. It's not because it's something that we have to do, or it's something that is in our church that we do this. No, it's that we all need a solid foundation. We all need something outside of ourselves that is higher than us, that is unchangeable, that cannot be moved. And it is so blessed for us, and really establishes the believer. And for the first time in our lives, we are not moved. We are solid. We are we are thinking in the right way with God. And this is a really great, great thought. Now, when we were in the conference in Budapest, we had pastors' meetings every day in the morning. And these were very, very good times. And in the first of the pastors' meetings, Pastor Pete, who is the youth pastor in Baltimore, he spoke from his heart. That was something that really touched my heart, and I thought how good this is for us to discuss this as a church and as individuals, as believers, because this happens to us. And he said, he has been a leader of the teen ministry for some years now, and there are times that he has had the strong feeling to quit. That means to leave this position that he has in the church as a youth leader. And why would he do that? And there are many practical reasons. When he became a pastor, he felt very inadequate, and he didn't feel that he had the resources for this calling to lead the teenagers. He felt that other people could do a better job than he did. Now, is this something that's uncommon? Does this happen like actually extremely frequently in the Christian world? And the answer is yes. We see statistics of leaders, pastors quitting the ministry, missionaries going home, music leaders leaving, any place of responsibility is somehow it brings with it this possibility that, I would quit and I would leave. And he was explaining this. And it's interesting that there are like two alternative ways that this happens in the Christian world. And it's very practical, very good to think about. And the first way is through sin and through failure. Now, in leadership, there are a number of things that can happen that can take a man out of the ministry or take a leader out from his place. And the first of these is some kind of sexual sin. And sadly, this happens in churches. And God forbid that it would happen in our churches, but it has happened and it will happen because man is a sinner. The second way that it happens sometimes is through financial impropriety. That means that some misuse of church finances, and the person, the pastor or the elder responsible for that, fails in that area and has to leave the ministry. Now, maybe that doesn't happen because we it's more frequent that a leader is looking for a honorable way out. So, without committing some big gross sin that is exposed before people, he wants to leave, but with with honor, with that people would not look bad at him and criticize him, that they would think, oh, he was an honorable man. And I thought that that's a very, very interesting point. Looking for an honorable way out or honorable excuse to leave the calling that God has given you. So let's think about this. We don't do what we do because people tell us to do it. No, it's because there is a calling from God. I believe, and I say this to all of us here, that whatever we do as a ministry, as a church, we do because it is God who is working in us. And God giving us grace for that particular calling in the church. Now, not everybody can be, preaching. Not everybody can be a song leader. Not everybody can be a children's teacher. There are many things that God calls us to and gives us the grace for. So the important point is to say, God is the one who calls. And number two, God enables us to do what he's called us for. And I hope we agree that with that. That's not, my natural capabilities. That's not my natural gifts, but it is what God does in his church. And I also believe from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that whatever is needed, whatever God sees as needed in the church, he will provide. So, for a church to say, I We don't have this, we don't have that, we don't have the other, is actually to be blind to what God has already provided in the body. So I believe with all my heart, what we need in our body, God has provided in the body. Now, to exercise the gifts that God has given us requires faith. And this is what is lacking sometimes in our lives, that we need faith to step out and to fulfill the calling that God has given us. So, but okay, we are now doing what God has called us to do, and we feel in our hearts, somebody else could do a better job. We feel, I'm dry. I don't have, it's it doesn't it's not going easy for me. I'm troubled. All kinds of excuses come in our minds, and we look for this honorable way out. I want to keep my reputation, but I'm looking for the exit. Now, this is just so related to Pilate, washing his hands and saying, it's not my responsibility, it's your responsibility. And sometimes people make excuses for this exit strategy. And what are those excuses? Let's look at what we find in the Bible. Number one is personality conflicts. This person is different. This person is difficult. We're not living in heaven yet. Praise God. We have heaven to come. And that's where everyone will be perfect, and it will be a perfect environment, and there will be no personality conflicts. There will be no issues like that. So here we are living in bodies of sin and death, and also in the body of Christ, we are interacting with imperfect people. And why has God allowed that? It's the So that we would grow in godliness, and we would grow in patience, we would grow in long suffering, and we would understand what love means. Now, it troubles me, and I tell you this, it troubles me in the body of Christ, where I see that there are cliques. And there are, people forming personality rapport because they like a certain group of people. They're the same age or the same interests or something like that. Let me tell you, that is not body life. If I start having little cliquey groups and exclude people in the church, that is such a source of pain and problem, because it introduces and it reinforces the natural thinking and the natural man. I say to all of us, the love that we have in the body of Christ, it has to be supernatural. I have to go to God to love people that I don't get on with naturally. That's church life. It's not just going around with the people that I like. That is not our church. That's not the spirit of our church. God will not bless that attitude. And I hope we understand that. Don't let these cliques form, because God is against that, and it's not spiritual. So let's understand that. So coming back to this, what other things can happen that could bring us to this desire to exit? Now the other thought maybe is that there's something in my past, something that I have not, fully brought to the cross in my life, and it troubles me continually, and I think that that is a reason why I would not be called by God to have, a position in the church. And this is, it's not healthy thinking. This is thinking that comes back from, the legalistic past that I had, many of us had, and it is not healthy. It's not good. And we want to step away from that. God has given us something wonderful, and that is total forgiveness and total freedom to be able to walk in his presence and walk in the light. And this is the greatest freedom for us, that we are not dragging our old baggage with us. Let's just walk with God and decide that's behind us now. That's gone. I don't want that to impact my future. We all have made bad decisions in the past. We all have, had problems in one area or the other. So don't think that we are somehow different from somebody else. No, what we need is this beautiful presence of the Lord to set us free from what we have had in the past. So here we have the another issue that can push me towards this exit from where God is calling to me. But praise God, what is keeping us here? What is holding us in this place? And it is objective truth from the Word of God. And what can we say tonight? That the calling from God is without God changing his mind. Praise the Lord. When God calls us, and maybe we don't immediately respond as we should do, is God going to change his mind? And the answer is no. He has a place for us, a specific place in the body of Christ. And what can we say about that tonight? It does not fit with anyone else. It's our place. Can we accept that? That, God has formed me for the body. I am a stone in the wall. I am part of this beautiful body of Christ. And all are needed, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, even the members that seem to be, without beauty, without anything that we would desire, they are very important for us. And that's why I cannot say in my heart, Lord, I want to jump out of here. I want to exit. No, I go to the Lord and I say, I know, Lord, you've given me the grace. I know that your grace is sufficient. I know that, Lord, and I want to receive that today. I want to be built up in who you say I am, not what I say I am, but you say I am. And be encouraged in that position, and to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and to receive, you know, every grace that I need for whatever plans that you have. So this is so healthy. It's so good. And you remember in the Bible school, the last class, you know, when Jesus decided, he said to his disciples, you know, we're going to Judea again. And, you know, they were complaining. They were saying, oh, we're going to lose our lives there. But Jesus had a calling. And the calling was to go to the cross. You know what the Bible says? That he set his face as a flint. He was unmoved by everything around him. He knew that was what God had called him to. And in whatever God has given us, you know, in a similar way, we know that his grace will go with us, and his truth is under our feet, and we are built up for, you know, this amazing calling that God has given us. So we're not going to run away from it. We don't want to, you know, have this honorable exit, praise God, but we just rather come and, you know, say, Lord, I'm weak. Yes, I'm very weak, but I come to receive all the grace that you have for me in this situation. And God gives it, and that's wonderful. And, you know, never say in our hearts, you know, I don't have grace for doing this. I don't feel that I have capacity to do this. You know, if God calls, he gives. It's amazing. And so many people, so many men, so many women have missed this great call that God has in their lives because of how they see themselves in subjectivity. And that's why it's dangerous. We need objectivity. We need the firm comfort of the Word of God. We need the doctrine that holds us together, the truth in many different categories, to teach us to walk in this present evil world. This is it's a beautiful thing, but it's a very important thing. So praise the Lord. That's what I wanted to share tonight. You know, there are trends that God opens my eyes to in the church. That's why, you know, God has called me to be the shepherd of the flock. And I tell you these things, and they are very important for us because they affect all of us together. Having fervent love for one another, fervent agape love, unconditional love. I love people in the body of Christ, not because of what they do to me, not because they invite me, my children, to their children's parties. That's not the basis of my friendship. No, the basis of my friendship is the cross. It's not my personal likes or dislikes. I hope we understand that. This is the love that Christ has given us. This is the love that poured from the cross. This is the love that Jesus paid to give us on the cross. This unconditional love. Let us not slip into a conditional acceptance of each other. It's so dangerous. It's so religious. And it's so false. And, it's so earthly. But thank God he's given us something more than that. So we don't have favorites in the church. We don't have, particular people that we are just, buddies with in the church. No, we want to be friends with all and to encourage each other because God has encouraged us. God has given us wisdom, each one of us in particular areas. God has given us words of encouragement. And this is the greatest thing to be able to share that with each other in the body. So let's avoid these dangerous things. And we don't see it often. We have the blind spot sometimes. And we think everything is going very well and we are doing fine. But the Lord comes and tests our hearts and shows us it's like this is natural love. This is not supernatural love. And we say, Lord, I need to come to your cross. I need that my natural feelings and desires are crucified. And I come and I receive your love for me so that I can love other people. So, think about it, meditate about it. Don't just push it aside and think, oh, I know about that. These things can happen to any one of us, but God gives us, amazing patience and, long suffering and gentleness and this peace that passes understanding. These things are from the throne of grace. They are amazing possibilities for the believer to have. We don't want the natural, fake alternative. We want the real thing. And God is willing to give us that. So, Amen. Praise the Lord. Any questions, any comments, please jump in. We love questions. We want questions. So if there's anybody that wants to say anything, please go ahead.